Okey-dokey, folks, and welcome to Monday Night Shaw. I am Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. The Canadian Goose. You are listening to Backbreaker Media Network, and on the show today is Keishi Matsunaga. Did I get your name right?
Yeah, you did. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, brother. I'm happy that we got that all correct, because I would sound like a major bonehead here if I just mispronounced your name right off the top of the show.
I mean, it happens more often than you would think, but it's not a big deal. I got a thick skin, so.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I mean, why don't we just start there then? Why did you choose that to be your wrestling name?
Keishi is my like legitimate middle name that I was given. It's the Japanese name that I was given when I was born. And when I first started, way, way back in the day, the guy running things wanted me to be a Chinese guy, which, I mean, I get Asian and stuff like that. And I was just kind of like, well, I'm not really Chinese. Can I be Japanese? And he's like, okay. So humming and hawing about names, I just like, well, I might as well just use the one that I have because, I mean, it's mine and I know how to pronounce it. So
100%. Okay, and how about your last name? Was that given to you, or was that something you chose?
It was half chosen, half given to me. So I was trying to come up with a very stereotypical Japanese last name that's long and can be hard to pronounce, as a lot of them are. Jack Evans, who I was training with at the time, this was back in like 2001, I want to say.
Oh, really? I'm going to have to ask you about that for sure.
Yeah. So he was just like, oh, there's this wrestler I like. His last name is Matsunaga. You should use that one. I'm like, perfect. I later, you know, once the internet became more prevalent, I looked him up and he's like a super awesome deathmatch Japanese wrestler and nowhere near the avenues that I want to go. But I just figured, I mean, I might as well stick with it. So that's where that came from.
Awesome. So you mentioned there that you started your wrestling training in 2001.
No, I started in 2000. I was 15. I was trained initially by Ted Hart and TJ Wilson at BJ's gym. So what happened there was a guy in my drama class in high school who would later go on to become Patrick Myers of Stampede Wrestling and Alberta Wrestling notoriety. We had figured out that we were both wrestling fans, and he had told me, hey, there's this school that trains, that does training in Calgary. Do you want to go check it out? And naturally I wanted to. So we went and checked it out. Well, Ted and TJ were running a class, so we kind of got to see how that worked out. And then I was immediately like 100% in. So I started like literally the first Tuesday in January of 2000. I was off to the races from there.
Wow. See, like, I've been with RCW like for a few years now. I mean, before I was even a wrestler, I was with them for a couple of years as like a ring announcer, and then even for a little while before that as like a sound guy. And then when you came in, I think I'd already started wrestling at that point, and I didn't know any of this. Like, I just thought you were like a new guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what happens when you sporadically take 5 to 6 years off of wrestling. You kind of get, you disappear into the shadows, and a lot of the new guys that come up don't really know who you are and what you've done before. I mean, getting back into wrestling was a very interesting story too. But I had taken about two times I have taken hiatuses from wrestling and then got sucked back into the business quite easily.
Awesome. Well, let's hear your story, how you got back in.
So I had taken indefinite hiatus is what I call it, because I was having a kid, and I figured the last thing I wanted to do while taking care of a small human that cannot fend for himself was possibly risk getting injured doing any wrestling and stuff like that. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to take a hiatus and maybe I'll come back. Maybe I won't. Things were kind of unsure. up in the air at that point. So I did that. I was off for, I want to say, about 5.5 years. And then just one day at an RCW show here in Calgary, I was sitting in the lobby and I had checked in on Facebook. And probably about 5 minutes after I'd done that, Stephen Styles came rushing out into the lobby and found me and asked me if I wanted to work. I didn't have any of my gear at the time, but fortunately I lived close enough to the Legion and I had driven down that I could easily just kind of go home and get it. So I grabbed some of my old gear that I still had lying around and I worked a match that night.
Who did you wrestle?
I wrestled in a tag match with Wavell Starr against Matt Hart and Dwight Davis.
Oh, okay. Solid.
Yeah. So it was basically just me getting the crap kicked out of me for however amount of time that it was. And then Wavell naturally came in and saved my life.
I gotcha. I 100% have been there. I remember we had a show, you know, a few months ago, and I was on the tail end of my groin injury because I had a groin injury, and you know, Squig was like, "Oh, Kyle, I really, really need an extra guy. You're going to be in a tag match with this other fellow, and you'll be facing these two guys, and you just let the other guy go in there, take the heat, and then come in, do a little bit of a comeback, and take the finish, and whatnot." And I was like, "Oh, okay, like that doesn't sound like too bad or strenuous or risky or whatever." And then everything got changed when I got to the show. And it turned out it was going to be me and Zach Mercury against two other guys. I was like, well, there goes the plan of having the other guy take all the heat, you know? So,
yeah.
But, you know, fun times.
Yeah, man. I mean, being in the ring with Dwight and Matt, I wasn't really worried about anything anyway, being that it was my first match back in, you know, 5.5 years, and I hadn't taken a bump or done anything since then. So like, I was pretty comfortable working with them.
Yeah, 100%. I've wrestled, I've been in a couple of matches with Dwight, and I've been in, I think, one-on-one match with Matt, but a couple of battle royals as well. So
right,
and they've always taken good care of me. So I really like wrestling with those guys. To be honest with you, I'd like to wrestle Matt again.
Yeah, I haven't had a one-on-one match with Matt at all, and I might have wrestled Dwight like way back during Matt Rats because I was part of that, but I don't remember vividly. Yeah.
This is crazy. Like, you've got all these like connections and stuff. Like, I mean, Jack Evans, Teddy Hart, TJ Wilson, they've all gone on to do some great things, you know?
Yeah. I was very fortunate to kind of get in with them when I did. I mean, don't get me wrong, having, you know, two 19-year-olds training a bunch of 15-year-olds, it wasn't the most structured training, but they did it like, you know, everything was done properly. Like, we were taught how to do the moves properly and stuff like that, which was good. So like, even back then, you know, Ted and TJ had great fundamentals, and you know, those are the fundamentals that I've taken forward from even back then, and they're ones that stuck with me, and I've, you know, they've managed to kind of keep me doing what I was doing without really getting hurt at all. So
100%, like those guys' in-ring athletics have always been like incredible. Like, you know, I mean, aside from like unfortunately like TJ's injury, and you know, Ted's gotten himself in a bit of trouble as well, but I don't think we really need to go into any of that. I mean, but like, as far as in-ring work goes, like, that's like the creme de la creme. Like, I remember seeing, when I first saw Ted wrestle, it was on the TNA pay-per-view where he wrestled Hoovy.
Okay, yeah.
And I just remember being blown away. Like, absolutely, like, holy cow. Like, yeah, look at what this guy can do.
The stuff that he comes up with just off the top of his head, and like, being there in some of those like early times where it was like, oh, if I just do this and mix it together with this, like it's insane. His mind for like just putting things together is like really, really good. And then obviously like TJ's memory for wrestling is, I would almost say, second to none. Like he remembers stuff that I like, it's insane how his memory for wrestling is.
Yeah, and he seems to me like one of like the nicest guys in wrestling. Like I legit have never even met TJ like in person, but I am friends with him on Facebook, and every single year he sends me a message on my birthday to say happy birthday.
And yeah,
like,
man.
Even if I'm like, hey, thanks. Like, I've had like a little conversation with him, you know, like he's taking his time to like just talk to people who, as far as he's concerned, are probably just fans, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I always get the messages from him too. And like, I got nothing but nice things to say about TJ. And I mean, Ted's never done me wrong either. And like nothing but good things to say about him. I had a couple matches with Ted, which is insane to be able to say that, you know, I worked a guy who's that talented. And I mean, I've been lucky enough to work with both of those guys, even in their early years when they were first developing. The stuff that they could do and the mind that they had for working in the ring was amazing.
Yeah. Were you at all nervous when you first wrestled Ted?
Oh yeah. Very much so, because, well, one, you know, he trained me and he had been like, he had had a WWE contract and all that stuff. So like, basically in my mind, when I was wrestling him, like, well, I mean, I'm wrestling a guy who's, you know, good enough to be in the WWE. So, it's hard to not be nervous. I know I remember in the match, it was on the Soutina Reserve here in Calgary. I was a one-on-one with him, and I remember not hearing what he had said on something and screwing up his spot, but it ended up kind of working out okay. But like, I think part of that was nerves, as well as I've come to realize over the years that I have to really, really try hard to listen to people when I'm in the ring with them.
Yeah, that's a thing, like, definitely that's happened to me, especially back when I used to wear a mask in the ring. I'd hear,
oh yeah,
okay, fight up, blah, 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 and I'd be like, I heard the part where I'm supposed to fight up. What was that? Fight up. Blah, 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 blah. I'm okay. On the third go, it's like, okay, I fought up. Then I hit the ropes, and then I'm like, we'll see what happens here. You know, usually the guy just levels you with a clothesline or a back elbow and whatnot. But like, ever since I like stopped wearing the mask in the ring, it hasn't been as prevalent of an issue. Like, it still happens from time to time where, you know, I'll be like, what'd you say? And I'll usually do it twice before the third one, I'll just hit the ropes and then expect a bump on something.
Right.
You know, my question about whether or not you were nervous about wrestling is with Ted was just because, like, I mean, homeboy is one of the hearts, right? Like, I remember when I wrestled Matt, it was right after I learned how to do moonsault, and Matt wanted me to moonsault on him. And I was so nervous that I was gonna, like, cause I'd done moonsaults, but I'd never landed on anyone.
Right.
And so I was so nervous I was gonna like land my knee on his face or something. And then Bret Hart would just think I am absolutely like a terrible human being or something. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. And I mean, like, yeah, always, I mean, there was always nerves, like even, you know, wrestling Ted or TJ as guys who trained me, I was always a little bit nervous, but at the same time, like, being that they trained me and they knew what I was capable of, I felt like, you know, like, well, if they're trusting me to work with them, it's probably because they at the very least trust my work. So, I mean, I was nervous, but at the same time, I was kind of like, well, if I'm in here with them and you know, they're the ones who've decided to have me wrestle them, then I at least feel like, well, they don't think I'm a complete screw up, and I should hopefully be able to make it work.
100%, because, like, I mean, if you're a guy, like, I imagine, like, if you're anyone really, but especially like a dude like TJ or Ted or, you know, Jack Evans, like, you don't want to go out there and stink the joint up, you know?
No,
that's absolutely not, right? Like, you, so, yeah. you know, especially like with them knowing everything you're capable of, they could actually probably put together like I imagine the matches were bangers, hey?
I mean, like it's kind of like we're all kids and you know, they were the psychology wasn't, I wouldn't say the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything I don't remember there anything like colossally screwing up. So
yeah,
what we did was okay. If I went back and I watched that now, I'd probably be like, oh, what was I thinking?
I can see where you're coming from. I've definitely watched like some Ted Hart matches where it's like, oh, he just, you know, like I think even maybe on that TNA pay-per-view I was talking about, like, I think he like loses the match and then like just randomly does a moonsault to impress people before he leaves.
Right.
It's like, oh, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But, you know, yeah, when you're a kid and you're watching, it's just like, oh, look at that cool flip. You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can you talk about like how long was it before after you were training that you ended up becoming part of Mat Rats, and how did you get involved in that?
So Mat Rats started, I want to say, summer of 2001. And I mean, that was all done through someone that Ted had met.
Do with Eric Bischoff?
Yeah, so that kind of came a little bit later. So there was a production company in Calgary, and one of the guys there, his name was Grammo, and he had met Ted somewhere. I don't know the exact story. And just, I guess he was super keen on the idea of putting on a wrestling show that featured kids under 21, I believe was the age limit. So because myself and a bunch of other guys, guys like Randy Myers and Dan Myers and stuff like that, we were all training with Ted and TJ. They were kind of like, we were basically part of the roster, the initial roster. And then they brought in some of the other young guys like Dwight and Apocalypse was there, who was, you know, better known as part of,
the Ascension, right?
Yeah, yeah, part of the Ascension. So Rick Victor, the Ascension, he was there because Ted and TJ were working with those guys in Stampede Wrestling. And then they brought in Jack Evans. I don't know how Ted got around to meeting Jack, but he came in and another guy from down in the Seattle area. He was there too. So it was just kind of like a bunch of us who had trained, and then they brought a couple other guys in from other places, and then Harry got involved, and Rene Dupree was there as well when he was young and up and coming. I mean, he was still a giant jacked guy the way he looked in the WWE, but
oh, wow.
Yeah, he was brought in to do some work too. So it was a very interesting group of guys, and yeah, we just did a bunch of filming and stuff. And then Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey's production company, they ended up getting on board. And so they kind of flew in, and we did kind of a show for them just to see, we could show them kind of
like an audition type thing.
Yeah. Basically kind of like get them to check out the product and see what we're about. They seemed pretty keen. They liked it. So,
was there fans in that show?
Yeah. So, I think some of them were fans, but a lot of them were extras that the production company brought in just to kind of fill the seats and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because it was just more of for a produced show. We had Mauro Ranallo was doing commentary, which was very, very cool. And yeah, and then so that became successful. So then we ran a show at one of the nightclubs here in Calgary as a one-off show in the summer of 2001. And then we just kind of kept training and didn't hear a whole lot about anything else. And then shortly thereafter, I think if my chronology is right, which it may not be, Eric Bischoff signed with WWE, and then things kind of just, I don't really know what happened. Yeah, things just kind of fizzled out. So
fair enough. So like you weren't like a part of the office or anything.
No,
just like one of the guys. Did you get a chance to like meet Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey?
I met Eric Bischoff. And I mean, he was a super nice dude. There was the one match I had at this club that we did, when I was done, he pulled me aside after my match and, gave me some advice to, I guess I was showboating a bit too, in a way that, I don't know, didn't make a whole lot of sense. He's like, he kind of told me to dial it back on the Road Warrior, I can't remember the exact terms, but I was doing too much, like standing on the corner Road Warrior taunting stuff. Oh, okay. So he's like, you got to dial that back. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I didn't have like a lot of interaction with him, but the stuff that I had, he was pretty nice.
Right on. Well, I mean, that's always definitely good to hear for sure. And then, I mean,
yeah,
like,
man,
like Jack Evans, I've always found to be like incredible too. I definitely,
the stuff that he can do is insane. Like, he defies physics in a way that I've never seen before.
Yeah, like, I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell from watching me, but, like, that crazy high-flying, like, type of wrestling is some of my favorite stuff. And, like, I remember after I saw the Ted Hart TNA thing, I was seeking out, like, Ted Hart matches and stuff, and that's how I stumbled upon Jack Evans and then was like, oh, well, this guy's even crazier than the other guy, you know? And then, him going to Ring of Honor and then all the way, he's now like a big part of AEW and everything. So that's awesome.
it's super cool to see, you know, a lot of these guys, get the success that they've had. Like, I mean, they've all put the work in and they've grinded and stuff like that. So like guys like Jack and TJ and Ted and Harry and Natty, even like they all kind of like, it's cool to see like how were the initial work they put in when they were young and just having it pay dividends on the back end. So like, you know, good on them for sticking with it and like going through some tough stuff and kind of sucking it up and sticking it out. So
yeah, 100%. I mean, it can't be easy to like, the road to the top is probably a pretty steep hill. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too, can you just like describe like what a typical day training with TJ and Ted and Jack Evans would be like for you and whatnot?
Yeah. So, I mean, initially we would just train 2 days a week, as most of us were still in high school. So then you just kind of show up and we would do the bumps. And we do some like rope running and stuff like that. And then, it was just on to like, you know, it was kind of like, well, what moves do you want to do? We did a little bit of like, here's your putting together of spots. Like obviously the international spot that everybody remembers that everybody is taught and things like that. So like the first half of the practice was always very like, very structured. It was very simple. We'd always do the same stuff. And then kind of like the last third, I would say it was just kind of like, all right, well, is there anything in particular that you guys want to try or learn and stuff like that? And they're always there to kind of like, oh, maybe if you tweak this or do this, you'd be able to kind of pull it off a little bit better and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool that they were there to help us. And then, we would kind of help each other, with trying to like, figure out how we could get the moves effective and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, like when you think like back, you're like, oh, I wonder who trained and taught Teddy Hart how to do a power bomb into a double knee backbreaker. It's like, nah, I'm pretty sure he came up with that on his own.
Oh yeah, he totally came up with that on his own. Nobody taught him how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's very similar to how we train up here at the Top Talent Wrestling School and how we were doing the training at Force as well, is you kind of show up, there's like a, you know, do some squats and push-ups and sit-ups, you know, some rolls, run the ropes a bit, and then, you know, maybe a little bit of chain wrestling for a little while, and then by the time they ended the class, it sort of rolls around, it's just, hey, what do you want to learn? What do you want to try? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it's a lot of fun, you know, and in addition to like good for you because of all the exercise and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and they're, you know, it's smart to be like, all right, well, here's the stuff you absolutely need to learn, like your fundamentals and stuff like that, that, you know, we all should do. And then after, it's like, well, I mean, if we do have some time, if there's anything a little bit extra you want to try and you're, you know, in an environment where it's safe and there's people to spot you and crash pads and stuff like that, like that's a really good time to try out moves. Whereas, you know, like 6 years ago, there was nowhere to train here because BJ's gym had shut down and no one else was really running camps on a regular basis, like Top Talent and things like that. So like the fact that there's places to train in both Calgary and Edmonton now is so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree with you. Like I say, like even like when I first started with RCW, like the only place you could go to train in Alberta pretty much at that point was Lance Storm, right? And he's going to charge you a lot of money.
Yeah. And I mean,
and it was like 3 months. Okay. Then you're done and you're off in the wild and you got to go get booked. And like, you know, the thing I like about like Top Talent and what's going on in Calgary is it's a consistent thing. Like it's not like, okay, you've done your 3 months and you're good, see you later, you know. It's,
yeah, if come, you
continue
if you
to
use,
practice and get better.
Exactly Yeah, no, it's really good, and that's definitely something that, you know, you need anywhere if you're going to be successful as a wrestler. You know, like training theoretically should never stop. You should always be training. And like, you know, you hear every single wrestler say like the only way to get that wrestler's cardio is to wrestle, and not having a place where you can train outside of doing your, you know, your once a month or twice a month shows is in a practice ring. And if you don't have one of those, it's so hard to keep that cardio.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, a cardio is definitely not my strongest suit, but it is something that like I notice, like, you know, say there's like sometimes when there's been restrictions for a few weeks and then you go back once everything opens up, and then your first day, you're just like, oh, I'm like, oh boy, this is rough, you know?
Yeah, man. Everything that you know, you spend 6 months building it up and you lose it in like 2 days. It's the worst.
Yeah. But I mean, I do usually find that like, you know, by like the fourth or fifth day back, then I'm good to like do stuff. Like, you know, like we do some crazy cardio drills sometimes. Like you run the ropes, hit the ropes 100 times. Like that's hard.
Like, oh yeah.
Like, and I, but it's good because when you do it, then the next time you're on a show and a guy is like proposing that you do a bunch of like stuff that's you know, just by hearing it, you're like, okay, this is going to be like cardiovascularly intense. You're like, well, that's all right. Cause like, I can run the ropes and hit them 100 times. So, you know, ducking a clothesline and then running under a leapfrog and then hitting the ropes 3 or 4 more times, you know, it's probably not going to be a big deal. And realistically in a match, you're probably not going to hit the ropes more than 5 or 6 times anyway, you know?
Yep, for sure. So yeah, it's always good to be overprepared.
100%. So with such a long-spanning career that you've had, have you had the chance to wrestle outside of Alberta?
No, I've actually, for the most part, just stayed here. So like I kind of fell out of wrestling in 2002, and I was off for, I want to say like 6 years. I would just kind of go to shows and stuff. And then I found out that Randy Myers was kind of doing some training and stuff back at the gym. So I kind of popped in and got back into it that way. And then I started working for RCW, and I've basically exclusively worked for RCW since that point until I took my second little hiatus. So I've really only worked in Alberta.
Oh, okay. Is Randy Myers, because you mentioned the fella you were that you initially started training with was Pat Myers. Is Randy Myers and Pat Myers related? And then you mentioned Dan Myers as well, or...
Yeah, so like they were billed as brothers. So Randy Myers is Ravenous Randy.
I've heard of him. I've seen him wrestle a bunch of times out on Vancouver Island.
Yeah, so he was here working for PWA for the longest time and then headed out to Vancouver. Pat Myers was his brother, and then you have Dan, who was Dynamite Dan. And I believe, if memory serves, they were all related to each other.
Okay. And then I know we had when we did the charity show for Ret Hart, which me and you actually wrestled one-on-one on that show.
Yes, we did.
But there was a battle royal later on in the night, and there was a wrestler named Michael Myers in that. But that was just straight up like the Michael Myers from Halloween.
Yeah, there's no relation there. It's just convenience of last names.
Yeah, fair enough. Awesome. I was just popping for the fact that they could so blatantly use like Michael Myers is your wrestling gimmick. Like that I find is like just so great. Like even with Jason the Terrible, like I you know, it's just such a good thing that they can just like I don't know how they get away with it, you know?
I mean, the Jason one's a little bit, you know, I mean the mask is slightly different and he doesn't use the exact name of Jason Voorhees, so I can see how they kind of skirted around with that one. And then I don't know how the Michael Myers one worked either, but I mean,
yeah. And I think there was like three or four guys that worked as Leatherface.
Yeah, I think so too, for sure.
Wait, have you ever had a chance to wrestle Jason the Terrible?
I did, I wrestled Jason the Terrible. When was that? Sometime between 2010 and 2013, I wrestled a match against Jason the Terrible, which was scary, but it was a good experience.
Yeah. Okay, I remember when the hardcore tournament for the belt was coming up, and I think Squig was telling me, he was like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to get you to put over Jason in the first round," you know, and then proceeded to tell me all these horror stories about how he was going to just beat the trash out of me, right?
Yep.
And I was like, "Oh boy, okay." I mean, what are you going to do? Like, sure, you know, I'll just be polite to the guy and hope he, you know, he doesn't have any reason to haul off and actually hurt me. But like, I remember that. Were you there for the whole thing? What happened with Slammer?
I can't remember if I was at that show or not. Cause I mean, I work very sporadically. Like I only work the shows where I don't have my kids. So.
Oh, okay. Cause like, yeah, they were, it was the Oil Dome here in Edmonton, and there was a big battle royal on that show too, but Slammer was in a match against Jason the Terrible, and Jason was kind of no-selling Slammer's offense, and so Slammer came and gave him a big old like clothesline, like the kind you can't no-sell, right?
Right.
And I guess he ended up catching Jason and knocked him out, and then when he when he came to, Jason was pissed, really, really angry. They finished the match, and then during intermission, Jason the Terrible came out in the like a blood rage during intermission and was like on a rampage all around the arena. He was bleeding all over the place, like, you know, kind of pushing people around. Somebody called the cops. It was
oh no.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like I think he even like some of the wrestlers that were like had to share his locker room like quit the company the next day. Like it was a whole thing. But
oh, crazy.
Yeah, because like I mean, Jason is obviously like he's been around for a long time, and he's been in a lot of crazy matches. So, you know, he's had some concussions in his life, and you know, when he got knocked out, it was his first match back after like 5 years from being retired from concussions. You know,
right.
I think it just like affected him in a certain way. But he came back and ended up being in that hardcore tournament, which I ended up not actually having to wrestle him. Which, you know, I don't know if I'm thankful for that or not, because I would be down, whatever. Like, worst case scenario, I guess he had beat up a bit. But anyway, like, he came and he had a great match with Slave, and then he had a good match with Vince Austin as well. I mean, it was like borderline deathmatch wrestling. Like, they were using glass and stuff, which is really not my cup of tea.
No, not mine either.
But entertaining to watch. The only thing, yeah. You were not at the first clandestine show, were you?
No, I wasn't. I had only been back in the business for about a month and a half when that went down. So,
yeah, I remember there was a death match in the main event of that show.
Oh man, that thing was.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah, I've watched that show a couple of times, and whew. Oh
yeah, no, that was one of my favorite shows to be a part of, you know, for sure.
Oh man, that top to bottom, that was like a super fun show, but oh man, that death match was nuts.
Oh yeah, and I remember being there because like the whole idea of the show, the way it was explained, was like, okay, it's like by the boys for the boys, so like if you're done your match, it's cool, just go back out in the crowd, drink some beer, and watch the rest of the show, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what I was doing. I was sitting there, I think it was me and Tex Gaines were sitting there drinking beers together and watching this show, and smash, they start smashing glass all over the place. Like, glass like flew out in like almost into my drink and stuff. And I was like, whoa.
Those light tubes are nothing to mess with.
Yeah. It was not what I was expecting. Cause like, I've seen a lot of deathmatch wrestling. Like I've seen some of it, but it never occurred to me that like, you are in the line of fire if you're in the first row during a death match.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Have you ever been in a death match or a hardcore match or any like cool game?
The closest thing I did was I was in a Fans Bring the Weapons match against Styles one time.
A squig?
Yeah, yeah. So it was that was the whatchamacallit. That was the payoff to a feud that we were having.
You feuded with Squig.
Yeah, this was back in the Canadian All Pro Wrestling. It was run back in like 2010, 2011.
Okay.
So yeah, me and him had a little feud, and the blow off was a Fans Bring the Weapons match. So
how did it go?
It was one of the few times that I actually won. So that was good. I squeezed his nose with a pair of chopsticks. That was fun. And yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, we beat the crap out of each other with a bunch of weapons, and I managed to get lucky and get the win. So,
well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear it. Like I say, me and you actually wrestled on the Ret Hart show.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and I had a lot of fun that night. And like, had I known you were like a Matt Rats dude and like been around for 20 years, I probably like, when I was told the win, would have been like, are you sure? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's not a big deal to me. Like, you know, the important thing to me is, you know, putting on a good show, not necessarily winning and losing. So, and I mean, I'm perfectly fine.
That's where I am with it too. And I mean, I liked our match. I thought it was pretty good, you know?
Yeah. I was a big fan of it too. You know, like I hadn't been back that long. And so, considering that, you know, we've never wrestled each other before, I thought we did, good enough for, you know, we had a good match for the position. That we were in the night. We didn't do too much to take away from the main event, but you know, we did enough to showcase each other, and I think the fans kind of enjoyed it too. So I mean, it'll be good to get back in the ring with you if that ever happens.
Yeah, no, I would really like to wrestle you again, especially like now that I know all this, because like, you know, you are kind of tentative whenever you wrestle someone you've never been in the ring with, right? Like,
absolutely, yeah.
You don't know exactly like how it's gonna like feel and whatnot. So, yeah. But I remember it. You know, everything felt good to me and it was fine. I know we did get kind of reamed out by one of the other guys backstage, but like I say, when I watched the match, I thought, you know, it was totally fine. Like, sure, there's always room for improvement. And hopefully one day we'll get to do it again and we'll be able to make those improvements. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, like, I don't think like more often than not, you're going to have a match that has things that, you know, you're going to look at and be like, oh, I didn't do that super great or anything like that. I'm always one of those guys that I'm not a big fan of watching my own stuff, because I'll see it and I'll pick it apart and be like, oh, I should have done this there and I should have done that there and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's always room to get better.
I definitely will. Like, I do enjoy watching my matches back, but I also do notice all the mistakes and I'm like, oh boy, that's a bummer. But it is just like, I like it because then the next time I have a match, I can remember, okay, last time I told myself, you know, I needed to do it this way. So, you know, I'll do it that way that this time. And things sort of like, I find that the only way to actually get better is to sort of watch what you're doing and
oh, absolutely.
And improve it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, as much as I don't like doing it, I force myself to, because, you know, it's one of, like I said before, you're always, you know, as a wrestler, you're always going to be learning and developing and stuff like that. So, you know, I make sure that I watch my stuff back, because that's the only way you can get better, is to, you know, watch the things that you've done and figure out how to improve on the stuff that has already happened, so that going forward you can, you know, be better.
Mm-hmm. So you actually have had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time as a trainer down in Calgary. Can you just tell us sort of like about how it feels to like lend your knowledge to other people?
I enjoy training a lot, training people. I mean, I'm not teaching anybody like anything super crazy. I usually kind of, I'm like the fundamentals guy. So,
okay, so I was not teaching people power bombs into backbreakers or anything like that.
Yeah, I was more of like the footwork and the bumps guy. So, and it was always cool. Like, I had done coaching for other sports and stuff before. So, the nice thing for me is like, I always try and figure out a way to associate what you're learning with stuff that you already know. So like, if there's a guy who, you know, if you played a sport back in the day beforehand, I'll try to associate things along that, just to kind of like bridge that connection of like, oh, you don't get this, you're not getting this, but if you kind of think about it in relative terms to stuff that you've already done, mm-hmm. And then you can watch the guys like, oh, you know, when it happens for them and that thing clicks, that's like the feeling that I get, like watching people get it is awesome.
Yeah. I am not in any position to train anyone else. But I've definitely had like a couple of moments like that where it's like something just was sort of explained to me a little bit differently one time. And it was like, oh, okay, I gotcha, you know, and then you kind of, you really clue in there and you have those epiphany moments, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a lot of that, you know, it all like stems all the way back to, you know, when I started training, like being taught the way that I taught allows me to teach the way that I do, because, you know, a lot of that is the same way that I learned. So being able to kind of take the things that I learned from like Ted and TJ and kind of pass them forward and have people get it is really cool.
Solid, buddy. I wanted to ask you, who are, can give me a list of like three guys who you would like to wrestle within like the next year, who are like, local guys.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I want to wrestle everybody. just like I've been fortunate enough to have, you know, a lot of good matches with a lot of good people since I've been back. And obviously not everybody. But I mean, you know, from what I've seen through working for RCW and being fortunate enough to get invited to the second clandestine show, like everybody who wrestles and works in Alberta that I've seen so far is like, they're all good. It would take more than on the spot to just be like, oh, this person, this person, this person.
I mean, that's totally fair. It's just like one of those podcast questions I put out.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like... And yeah, no, I get where you're coming from. So, yeah, but I'm going to choose to abstain from answering that question because it's too hard for me to answer.
That's totally cool. How did you get involved in the clandestine society? Was that just like Chucky shot you a message one day and asked you to come on and be a part of it?
Yeah, basically, and I think part of it was because I had gone to some of the training, like back when things were open, when he was in town doing some stuff, I kind of showed up and did some things. And he's always been kind of, he knew that I was in Matt Rats and I trained with TJ and stuff back in the day. And I did some training with him a long time ago, back when he was still Chucky.
Oh yeah, sorry. We're talking about MRB, Michael Richard Blaze. I don't know why, but I think I heard somebody call him Chucky, and I just ended up using that to call him that anyway. Like,
right.
But
and then he just kind of shot me a message, and it was just like, hey, we got a spot open, and I think it'd be kind of cool to have you kind of come in and do some work. And I was like, okay, cool. So, I was very appreciative that, you know, he extended to me that invitation, and I had so much fun doing that. It was great.
Yeah. I was super disappointed, that I wasn't able to be a part of it. Cause I know, like, I was initially asked, and I was told I was going to be in a four-way match against you and a couple of other fellas. And I was really looking forward to it, but then the COVID restrictions hit and we had to postpone it.
And yeah.
And the restrictions lightened up a bit, and we were doing some training one day, and we were running international spots or some kind of spots, and somebody gave me a O'Connor roll, and I just heard a bunch of like weird popping in my ribs, and was like, "Oh, that's not good." And then it felt weird and sounded really nasty. I got up, I took an arm drag, there was more popping, and this time there was pain involved, and I was like, oh boy. So I just kind of rolled out of the ring. MRB was like, go get some water. So I did that. I went to the bathroom, and like I just kind of lifted my leg, and it was like pop, 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 crack, crack, crack. I was like, oh boy, like every time this is happening. So I went right to the to a medical clinic to get looked at there, and I had like some dislocated ribs or something. So
oh geez, yeah. Those are the worst.
Oh, it was it's not so much the physical pain that bothers me as much as it is like the I knew I was missing things, you know?
Right.
Like, I want to be in the ring. I want to be there and wrestle, and this stupid thing that I have no control over, you know, needs to heal before I can do that. And yeah. So, I mean, but I think that's just, you know, par for the territory. I mean, have you had, I mean, it's one of those things you mentioned earlier that you quit wrestling because you were afraid to get injured and you had to take care of your child. Have you ever sustained any injuries?
One time in 2011, I separated my shoulder. I landed funny, and that was like, it was my own fault. So I was out for, I want to say like 10 months just to make sure that I healed properly. Oh. So that was kind of disappointing, but aside from that, I've been, like I didn't need surgery, kind of healed on its own. So it wasn't like a really bad separation.
Okay.
Aside from that, I've been very fortunate to not have any injuries.
All right. Well, I mean, that's good. I've had a separated shoulder as well. I separated my shoulder about 4 days before my first match ever.
Ooh.
I didn't know it was a separated shoulder. I knew something was wrong with it immediately. Cause like I say, like, it was, on a botched back body drop. I went up and I wasn't able to flip. So I just came down like a flapjack right on my shoulder. Ooh. And was in immediate, like, really bad pain.
Yeah. And then you try to move your arm and it's not doing what you want it to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it, I could kind of move it, but only to a certain point before it was just too painful. And then like, but I was just trying to tough guy it the whole thing. So like, I had that opportunity to go and have my first match, and I'd wanted to wrestle for like 20 years cause I'm old. And so when I was asked, I wasn't about to say no.
Yeah,
I didn't know. Like I say, I didn't know it was a separated shoulder either. So I like taped up. I put a piece of tape on that arm and was like, "This is the one that's fucked, guys. Please don't hurt my arm." You know. I think a month later, I went to a doctor and they were like, "Yeah, you got a separated shoulder." And I was
"Oh, wow.
Oh, that sucks." Yeah.
Yeah. No, I knew right away that I had done something. I had done something bad. So. I went to the hospital right after the show and got it looked at. So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say right after the show because it was a show in Edmonton, and because I had driven up with some of the boys and I didn't want to make them wait while I went to a hospital in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
I basically iced it on the way home, and then I went to a hospital in Calgary.
Yeah, that's
just so the guys I was riding with didn't have to wait around for me.
I mean, it's important to like take care of yourself, and it's definitely a lesson I've learned, which is why like I did let the rib thing go. Like I was like, I'm not gonna risk it because then that what will be like a month long injury could turn into a 6 month long injury, and
yeah, for sure.
I just don't want that, you know. We are kind of approaching the end of the podcast here. So I am going to ask you just like, who are like, some of your like wrestling influences? Cause like, you wrestle under the Japanese gimmick there.
Yeah.
Is Japanese wrestling something that you pay a lot of attention to?
Yeah. I watch a lot of Japanese wrestling. I mean, I watch as much as of everything as I can. I'm kind of all over the place. I don't, I don't see any reason why not, because even if you watch something that you may not like the direction of the product or whatever, it's always still good to watch the matches because you can watch it and be like, oh, okay, well, you know, you can watch for here's the reason that they did this and stuff like that. So like watching, you know, the upper tiers of professional wrestling as a wrestler, not watching it because, you know, you don't like the storylines or anything like that is a little bit of a disservice, because even if you don't like the product itself, the wrestlers are there because they are some of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
So not watching, even just to, you know, like watch for psychology of a match or how they work with the crowd and stuff like that, you're doing yourself a disservice. So I definitely watch a lot of Japanese wrestling, obviously just due to my Japanese background and influence. So I'm influenced by a lot of guys from Japan, both present and in the past. I like watching comedy wrestling. I'm a big fan of all of that.
I also really like comedy wrestling.
Yeah. So, you know, guys like Colt Cabana and Grado, and even some of the stuff that, you know, guys like Kevin Owens have done on the indies. Like Kevin Owens is a great guy to watch because he's always working the crowd, and that's super important. So like even, you know, as a bad guy is working the crowd, as a good guy, he's always talking, and, it's just, he's always trying to establish that connection. So like guys that understand like the showmanship side, guys like Kevin Owens, Colt Cabana, Chris Jericho, you know, people like that are always good to watch. The Japanese wrestlers are good as far as like, executing moves and like just beating the crap out of each other, if you want to do all that.
Yeah, a lot of them have really great like chain wrestling technique and stuff.
Yeah, and the same with like, you know, a lot of the guys in Ring of Honor that have, you know, they have that pure wrestling title. So, you know, it's good to watch those guys because they got a lot of great technical wrestlers and things like that. So, like, you know, bouncing around all over the place is kind of what I try to do. Whether or not I adopt, you know, everything that everybody does is not going to happen, but it's good to learn just in case, like, oh, you know, this time maybe I want to do more technical chain wrestling with a guy because the guy I'm wrestling is more of a technical chain wrestler. So it's good to have that stuff in your pocket in case it comes up, and to be able to be, you know, more fluid and work with the guys that you're working with to have the best match possible is always something that I try to strive for.
Yeah, it's become very clear to me that you can't just go out there and work everybody the same. It doesn't work that way, you know?
No.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things I like to ask people about is, like, because, I mean, I'm not trying to kill the magic, but it is a show. And, like, sometimes when you show up at the show, they say, okay, this is who you're wrestling. And then you go and you talk to the guy and you come up with a bunch of ideas and put stuff together. And then sometimes it's like you show up the show and they say, okay, this is who you're wrestling. And you'll walk up to the guy and they'll be like, yeah, I'll see you out there tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Have you wrestled both those ways? Like, have you put matches together on the fly while you're in the ring, or
not? Like, I wouldn't say like 100%. There's always, like, I think the closest I've come is to, like, I would say like a skeleton of a match, and then, you know, kind of fleshing things out there. So it's kind of like, you know, you get in there and be like, all right, so we'll maybe start this way. We obviously know how it's going to end. Here's a couple of things that I want to make sure that are in there. And then everything else, you'd be like, all right. And then the rest we'll kind of just figure out while we're out there. And then I've also done, like, all right, well, here's what we'll do. And we'll just roll through every single step to the end. So I've kind of, and then everything in between, but I've never gone out there and been like, all right, here's the finish and I'll see you out there.
I definitely prefer like a mix, like you say. Like, I like to have like a kind of a good idea of what we're gonna do at the start, and then I, of course, everybody, like, you're gonna know what the ending is because the promoter is gonna be like, this is what I want for the ending, right?
Exactly.
But like, once, like, we start the heat, I'm just like, okay, we're doing the heat. You're just gonna beat me up, and maybe you'll slam me or whatever, you know, like. It's that part of the match is like just completely usually improvised. But I remember being so wigged out the first time I showed up at a show and the guy was just like, yeah, we're just going to go out there and wrestle. And I was like, well, do you want to elaborate any further? Nah, we'll see you out there. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I just fell right back on improv. I was like, okay, I'm just going to use my theater improv skills to, you know, you don't say no, you just accept the offers that are given to you and go for it. And it's actually, like, I think it's a lot of fun, especially when you don't, like, complete, like, we've never completely bombed out and had to throw our hands up in the air and been like, okay, well, sorry about that, folks. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean,
I've actually had, it's the other way around where I've had matches that were fairly planned out, and then you go out there and it doesn't go according to plan, and it's not a great day at the office. But you know, most of the improvised ones have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I mean, it's awesome that, you know, like, having that improv background is definitely like, it gives you an advantage, so you can be able to go in there, and if things screw up or you get put in a situation like that, you're comfortable enough that you go, okay, well, I have to make up things on the fly, but you're used to doing that with an improv background, so it comes a lot easier to you than some of the guys who've never done it before. So
yeah, and I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here either. Like, I've only ever done that with guys that are like, I mean, I did it with Squig for the first time I ever did it, and which was super nervous because I, you know, at that point was like, okay, you know, me and Squig just got over some beef here. Is this gonna be like a bad thing? But I also did it with Dead Zone a few times, and once with Steve Wilde, and those matches were, like I say, like a lot of fun because, like, I don't know. I like the fact that you know, you were able to put the art together while you're out there. But again, like, I still see a lot of value in making like a plan for, because like you can't really go out there and plan a whole sequence of moves and stuff like off the top of your head like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to do a chain of like an international spot into like a bunch of stuff, like you kind of have to talk about that with the guy, you know, before the match or whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it's always good to make sure, like, you know, nothing is always going to go off without a hitch. Yeah. So being able to, you know, if you lose yourself in the match or whatever, it's always good to, you know, have that background in your back pocket, be like, oh, it's fine. I've had experience making stuff up before. So at the very least, you know, you can make it work and kind of get back to a point where, you know, you get that flow back. So, I mean, I have a little bit of an improv background too. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I started that in, I want to say 2013. So, that has been, nothing but like helpful for my in-ring work as well. I'm a lot more comfortable in there knowing that, you know, oh, if something happens and I have a brain fart or anything like that, I know I'm comfortable enough in there that I'm like, well, it's okay. I can make it work.
Yeah.
So
100%. Like, I mean, the exact situation has happened to me. I was wrestling against Vince Austin. And the finish was supposed to go, he goes for a pile driver, and then I pull his legs out from under him and flip over and pin him, right?
Okay.
Well, when I went to pull his legs out, we kind of both staggered back into the ropes. And so you can't pin a guy in the ropes, so he ended up going to the floor, and I was standing in the ring, and I, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, you know, that was supposed to be the end of the match. Now we're boned, right? And then I just, like, I looked over at the referee, got him to come over, and it was just like, yeah, tell him to watch out for a spear, right? And, all the power in the world to Vince Austin. It really like made me feel good that somebody that's been in the ring, like been in the business for so long, would actually, you know, go with what I suggested. And so sure enough, like you see Charles go over to count him out, and he tells him as he's getting in the ring, yeah, he's going to spear you, right? And so then yep. Gord gets in the ring and comes at me with the old double axe handle, and Bob's your uncle. There we go. And
yeah, man. I mean, and that's kind of like a nice thing in RCW. There are a lot of guys there that you know, they have a lot of experience, and so when things go awry like that, you know that you're in good hands working with a lot of those guys.
Yeah, 100%. I've really, really enjoyed working in RCW. One more thing I just wanted to touch on here with you, of course, like, because you have worked the Japanese gimmick, and then for a little while, you were also kind of put into a stable there with Mr. Spectrum and Tony Machete, and it was like a all Asian gimmick and stuff. And then, like, even when we were starting this out, you said that the fella wanted you to be Chinese, and then you went to Japanese. Is like, have you had any issue with like stereotyping or racism or anything like that? Like, I hesitate to say full on like racism.
Yeah.
But like definitely some stereotyping. Like, does that ever grind your gears or anything?
I mean, I'm only half Japanese. And I think that kind of works to my benefit in that, because I don't believe that I look fully Asian, that I don't get it as much as a lot of other people that I know have experienced it. Also, the fact that I can grow a full face beard also probably works to my advantage too.
Yeah.
And I mean, anything that, any sort of like stuff that's happened to me, in the locker room, as far as that stuff is concerned, like, it doesn't happen often, if at all.
Yeah,
and the few times it's always just like, hey man, like if someone says something and I'm uncomfortable with it, it's always easy for me to just be like, come on, man. And 10 times out of 10, if I've ever had to do that, the person that I've had to talk to is always like, hey, no worries, I'm sorry. And like, you know, nobody has ever said anything like that to me maliciously. It's always kind of as a joke. And I mean, it's easy to kind of figure out that tone between like someone who's taken shots at me because I'm Japanese versus someone taking shots at me because they're joking around, and that's kind of like a go-to thing. So I've been very fortunate to not encounter much of that at all.
Well, I'm happy to hear about that for sure. Can you give us one rib story? Like you brought up joking, is there any, have you ever pulled any good jokes on anyone in wrestling?
No, not in wrestling. I've always tried to be like, I mean, I'm always super respectful in the locker room. I've never felt that I've gotten to a point, where I would be comfortable enough to pull ribs on anybody, without like getting like legitimate heat with anyone. So I kind of just, I hang out, I'm friendly with everybody, and that's kind of the end of it there. I've never contemplated pulling anything. I've never actually seen anything done either. So,
all right. Well, I definitely am not a fan of malicious ribbing. Like, I don't think that's good at all. But like, yeah. I'm okay with a little bit of a friendly poke or whatever. Like, I've definitely like been on the way to the ring a couple of times, and my music just stops, and then some really fruity song comes on or something, and I'm like,
yeah, I mean, stuff like that.
Hilarious. Yeah, I like legit just like shrug my shoulders and start going with it. You know, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the best way to handle situations like that for sure. Yeah.
Anyway,
but yeah, I mean, stuff like that is great.
Why don't you give us your social media information? Let us know where people can get a hold of you and whatnot. Do you have like a pro wrestling tea store or anything like that?
I don't, but I have been working on some designs to open up, or at least to sell some merch. I don't know if I quite want to do pro wrestling tees as much as I want to try and find Canadian distribution, because the markup getting stuff sent up here from the US is...
yeah, it's pretty killer, for sure.
Yeah, it's killer. So like, I want to encourage people to buy my stuff, so if I can find like, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees Canada, that would be awesome. Yeah,
I think I would get a lot more
that. Yeah, otherwise, sure. Yeah, otherwise I got, I mean, I have your standard social media. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. So that's basically the word pile driver, but with a K in front of it. And then I do have a fan page on Facebook that I very often forget to interact with. So I mean, I'm not super great at interacting on social media in general, but Twitter's probably the place you would find me posting the most, seconded by Instagram, and then sporadically once a year maybe on Facebook.
Okay, well, I mean, that's very fair. I mean, I do also have like a fan page on Facebook that I very seldom ever use. I'm just like, hey, if you want to follow me on Facebook, friend me. My name is Kyle Shaw. Like,
yeah,
I use that main account all the time, but
I try to keep my Facebook stuff kind of relegated to just kind of people I know, just because that's kind of where I put pictures of my family and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I kind of want to keep that a little bit separate. I mean, I do a little bit of that on Twitter and Instagram, but not to the extent. So,
yeah, well, that's fair. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. It was a good talk. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. I'm more than happy to come on and chat with people about wrestling for sure.
Solid. Well, thanks again, and like I say, stay safe, and hopefully once everything clears up, me and you will get another chance to get in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, I just look forward to working at shows with you, let alone in the ring with you, man. Nova Scotia and the Brunswick.